Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Pod. My name is Jeff Ledke.
And I am Peyton Moreno.
This is coming to you via higher quality sound because we're in the same room. Peyton, thank you for letting me in your home.
Oh, absolutely, man. You're welcome anytime.
The best thing about being in your home is that MLB The Show is always going. And, you know, why don't you tell the fans what we were doing before we got started?
Okay, so this might sound a little dumb, but what I always do with not just MLB The Show, any sports game, NCAA, if I actually bother to buy a Madden game, they haven't made a good one since like 2003, but, you know, I'll make a dream team with everybody I know on it and just like steamroll everybody because I'm 8 years old and that's how I like to have fun.
What better way?
Exactly. So what I'll do, what I'm doing this time though, is instead of that, I'm creating a whole roster's worth of players of who are people that I know who are my friends and kind of giving them ratings according to how good I think that they would be, you know, whatever. And then I'm just going to put them all in free agency and see who signs them and just kind of for a fun adventure.
And it truly is fun to think about, you know, the future if we had actually applied ourselves in high school and been born with athletic ability. Fortunately, we get to talk about the players that did do that.
Oh, yeah, man. And this is way easier. I don't have to train for this.
Welcome to the Talk Us Off the Ledge podcast. Mariners, 4-7. Last time we talked to you, the Mariners were 2-2, taking two away from the A's, who looked quite pedestrian at the time.
Yeah.
Have since rattled off 8 straight. They won last night. They beat Vargas and the Angels. They look really good. You know who doesn't look great?
The Mariners.
The Mariners.
Yeah. No, the thing, well, quick thing about the A's, though, and I mean, mm-hmm. I know we already covered that series, but they looked like last year's, like they lost the division last year, and the Mariners played like the division champs for those first two games, at least.
Yeah, they really did.
It looked like a total role reversal, and that got me kind of excited, but ever since then, it's like we've switched back to our normal roles. I mean, we've even been losing to the Astros like crazy.
The Lastros, as I've been so passionately calling them, like excited. They were averaging.
You might be jumping the gun on that.
I know. They were averaging 12 strikeouts per game offensively, not pitching staff. Like they would strike out so much, and I thought, you know, this is going to be a great time for our 3, 4, 5 pitchers to, you know, get their feet under them. And instead, we got freaking blasted.
I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't even believe it. Like, I expected from Maurer a little bit, you know, like, it's his first game, he's going to be jittery, he's going to be figuring stuff out, whatever. What?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
I missed the first inning. I missed the entirety of Brendan Maurer's performance on Tuesday, I believe, or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. He exploded early, it didn't look good. Mariners lost 16-9. We scored 9 runs and lost by 7.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I went to every single Astros game. I went to that whole opening series. And I was so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we lost that middle game, I was like, we'll take the series. I mean, it's so there was a big run fest and a fluke. And, you know, Maurer doesn't have his ducks in a row. Whatever. We'll take the third game. No problem. Nope.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Yeah, Joe Sauner's opening night was quite nice. 42,000 fans, a good crowd, a good atmosphere, a 3-0 win with a suicide squeeze from Gutierrez.
Mm-hmm.
Positive
things. Clutch. Gutierrez has been off the chain lately. Guy's insane.
He's been very good. He's been very good. He's got his third leadoff home run last night.
Remember when we discounted him before the season even started?
We did.
Like he was going to be hurt the whole time? And that was mostly me. I kind of started that. And you were like, well, isn't that kind of, that seems kind of rude, was the word you used. You were like, it seems kind of rude to just, you know, discount him before the season even starts. And I was like, he'll be hurt in the first month,
but he's
which I guess, hurt. Like, the first month hasn't even ended, but.
I was at the game last night, and you texted me, just clutch, Gutierrez, leadoff home run, something that we, A, did not expect. His fourth home run, just a great thing, but sorry, I'm going back to the first game. We had 42,000 fans there. In the 3 games since then, including a night with the Supreme Court, the total was 44,000.
Oh.
10,000 in the first two Astros, or the second and third Astros game, and last night, only 23,000 going to Supreme Court.
I'm kind of sad I missed Supreme Court, but like I said, I went to every single game against the Astros, so I kind of needed a night off for my wallet.
I am disappointed in myself for going on that night, for going last night. I've been in town for a couple days. I wanted to go to a game. I couldn't go Wednesday or Tuesday. And Monday, that's the only time that tickets are expensive in Seattle's opening night, it feels like. But I kind of wish I had saved my money for a game when there were more true fans there. And I'm not calling anybody out. I just felt like the management really targeted Felix's first start as like, if we don't make money here, we're in trouble for our opening, you know.
Yeah.
You start against the Astros, the Rangers, and the Tigers. You really got to market those games, especially in April, with big market games like opening day, Felix's starts. I'm surprised they haven't done anything with the crazy matchup tonight. This is Friday, April 12th. They got Yu Darvish going against Hisashi Iwakuma, Japanese night. And I'm surprised they didn't try and gut the, you know, Seattle people for money on that one.
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm coming on strong because I'm frustrated.
No, and that's okay. That's okay. I can see why you're frustrated, but here's the thing. Let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Mm-hmm. Felix going up there, the Supreme Court, yeah, it was kind of a money-grabbing move, a little bit. And when I saw that they were doing it in April, I was like, isn't that a little early? Like, if you were going to do Supreme Court, wouldn't you want to do it again in August, near the 1-year anniversary of his perfect game? But then I realized that the Mariners organization is fully aware that Felix, at the time, had something like 1,498 strikeouts. Correct. Sorry, I'm like numbers.
No,
I'm
was blanking crazy. Too, but he did. That was nice to see.
We'll put it this way. He had almost 1,500 strikeouts, and he was going to achieve 1,500 strikeouts that game unless by some insane fluke he didn't or he got hurt or something. So, yeah, a little bit of the gunning for money. It seemed a little rushed, the Supreme Court. I didn't go, but I can see why they did it. He got 1,500 strikeouts. That's a pretty big milestone.
It was a good thing. I'm not going to argue with on that. But there were times, I can think of 3 or 4 times last night where Felix had an 0-2 count. You and I know baseball. What do you do with an 0-2 count? You throw garbage.
Yeah.
You throw a pitch that can't be hit, you throw it right in the dirt, and you hope they swing. But the crowd was chanting K, 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 and screaming for him to get a strikeout. And it was fun, and it was a weird atmosphere. Like, it was, like this is kind of a weird thing to be chanting. Yeah. I love the Kings Court, by the way. I love the small group. But the whole stadium just crying out for a strikeout, I think it affected the way Felix pitched.
You know what? With 10 hits, 4 runs, 3 earned, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
He doesn't pitch like that. That's not a Felix. Those aren't Felix stats, man. Those are Bevin stats. Those are garbage stats.
We've had 2 Supreme Courts since the perfect game. He's 0-2 in those starts. Yes, Brendan Ryan could have put down, or that was a great suicide squeeze on his part. Andy could have taken off a little earlier last night. But in reality, 4 runs at this point for us, it's not a great position.
No.
It's not ideal for our hitting. Speaking of hitting, oh my gosh, the beloved Condor.
Oh, I was there for that game. I was sitting in section 118. I was in row 20. I was in the 20s. Mm-hmm. So I was fairly close. Like, I was telling the person I was with, I've never seen someone actually go down and not get up soon after in a baseball game in person, get hurt that bad. Like, usually when I see someone get hurt, it's like, oh, you know, they got hit in the hand by a pitch and then they sprain their hand up. Oh, speaking of.
Which you also saw last night.
Which we also saw. They'll like get hit by a pitch and bruise a rib, or they'll twist their ankle trying to feel the ball. I've never seen someone straight run into a wall and be down for as long as Saunders was. And I was surprised later, because looking at it, I thought he hurt his head. I thought he might have got a concussion from hitting his head and against the thing and how long he was down, but I guess not. And he's listed as day-to-day, right? Or is he on the DL? He's on the 15-day DL, right?
They were hoping to just make it a day-to-day thing, but last night they brought up Andy Chavez. Mm. And where's Thames? No, we're not talking about that right now.
We're already mad enough. We can't freak out here.
They brought up Andy Chavez, and they put Saunders on the 15-day DL. And then last night, on a pitch that was called a foul ball, Michael Morse broke his pinky finger on his left hand, I think. Which makes it hard to catch a baseball,
yeah.
The broken hand, and swing a bat. And he's out for, they said, 3 to 7 days. I don't imagine a broken pinky finger goes away that easily.
Yeah, I bet it's more at a 7 to 10 range, but also I'm not a pro, so I don't really know.
Also, that seems like an annoying injury that an injury-plagued player has to struggle with through the year.
Yeah.
It's discouraging.
I'm not used, other than Gutierrez, I'm not used to seeing tons of Mariners get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually we've got a pretty healthy squad. Maybe a guy will be out for a day or two or whatever. But for the most part, I'm used to, oh, Gutierrez, like, ripped his pec out and threw it in the garbage and fell asleep, and yeah. Now he's out for the year, and then that's it. But it's strange now that, not that they're huge injuries, but that I'm seeing multiple players get these little ticks that are going on. I hope it doesn't happen all year. I don't like it. I don't like this feeling.
And now the hot streak from Gutierrez becomes all that more important. His presence, he's going to lead off now.
Yeah.
For at least 15 games. I think we'll see Chavez. We might even see Eric Thames at some point.
I hope so.
Both of them were hitting over 500 in AAA last I checked.
How's Casper Wells doing?
With the Blue Jays.
Oh, with the Blue Jays now?
Yeah. He was designated for assignment, and the last day was actually, it was either yesterday or the day before, Wednesday or Thursday, the Blue Jays did take him. I have not heard, I don't think there's any word on who we got back, if there was a trade. It might just be a waiver wire kind of thing.
Okay, then I'm definitely behind on that news. I thought Casper was still with us. Well, good for him. I hope he gets some opportunities there.
And I think he will. They also have a little bit of an injury bug in the outfield. But it's a crazy thing to think it'd be nice to have Casper, but we have some depth there. I think Andy is a viable veteran. I guess I'm just going to make that one syllable now. And I think Eric Thames, you and I have talked about it before. We like Thames a lot.
Oh, I love him. He seems to really want to be here. Yeah, yeah, like Michael Morse, but not quite as good.
Yeah, and we'll have to make room for him in the lineup. I don't know where that's going to come from, because Morse won't have space for, there's no DL for 7 days.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be worth it in case he's back in three to put him on a 15-day DL.
Not at all.
But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Thames in the next week, at least for a guest appearance.
Or a DH or something like that.
Like if we were to use, Bevin's a bad example because he's been terrible, but a day after Blake Bevin starts, send him to AAA, like quote-unquote, send him to AAA to bring up Thames, and then Bevin would still make his regular start.
Yeah.
That's a way they could get around it for the Michael Morse injury. Hopefully that's a week long or less. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking out loud here, but yeah. Remember when the bases were loaded with two outs and we sent Raul Ibanez to the plate?
Against a lefty.
Yeah. Okay, don't get me wrong. I like Raul Ibanez. I think he's capable. But when last year he batted .240 and hit 19 dingers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, better than most of the Mariners, but not the most impressive.
Well, in that situation, they brought in a lefty to face Ibanez. At that point, that pitcher needs to make a pitch before he can be removed. In that situation, we need to have a right-handed bat named Kelly Shopik in the game, who has been our best hitter the last 4 or 5 days. He has as many hits, he had as more hits than Montero going into last night. Jesus got 2 hits last night and he passed him, but they played, Shopik's played 2 games, Montero's played 9.
Yeah. I was so impressed with Shopik when I watched him the other night. The night Saunders got hurt.
Yeah, he had the home run,
the double
that just missed.
They reviewed that play in the booth like it was the NFL. Yeah. I forgot that they were implementing that, so that kind of caught me off guard for a second.
Where are all the umpires going? Yeah. I think someone can tweet us and tell us if we're wrong. I believe that's the first time that's been used at Safeco Field since they implemented it last year.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever used because no one could hit a home run last year anyway. I was shocked last year. The fan appreciation for Raul Ibanez, it's nice. Like, everyone's really happy he's here. The only thing louder than the Raul chant were the boos raining down on Justin Smoke. By me. I don't know if I've ever been more frustrated with a player. And he had 2 hits last night. And when he's up to bat, there was a situation with runners in scoring position and less than 2 outs. And it went Smoke and Montero, and they both had 2 hits, and neither of them could get a run across the board. It was when it was 2-2, and we had an opportunity to take a 3-2 lead, and it just didn't happen.
I'm pretty sure we left 9 runners stranded.
Ugh.
in that game.
That is terrible. And we're talking about last night's game. I don't even think I said we were talking about the Astros. We're playing the Texas Rangers. It's great having Adrian Beltre back and having him John with Felix Hernandez. I know Beltre annoys most Mariners fans, but it just wasn't a good fit. But him and Felix are close, and it's fun to see them battle.
The reason with Beltre is we had too high of expectations for him because he hit 40 homers. He had a career year with the Dodgers the year before he came to us, mm-hmm. and then we expected him to keep producing on that level, and he's not going to. And we should have been okay with that. We should have realized that what he is, and none of the fans did. But I do have a funny story about Adrian Beltre, which is when he was here in Seattle, his last year here, I went to a Mariners game, and there was a guy decked out all in Dodgers stuff by himself, no friends, no nothing, at Safeco Field. Standing, not sitting in the lower level, but standing kind of at the top of a row.
Okay.
Like he didn't have tickets to be there. And he was just screaming at Beltre, "You're a traitor! You're a traitor!" And I'm like, dude, did you fly here all the way from LA?
Was it like 4 years after he left LA?
Yeah, like, get over it. Like, what is going on? So I didn't say anything. I was just like, really?
Okay. That's great.
That's like me going to New York and screaming at A-Rod that he's a traitor while wearing a Mariners jersey.
Or like Ichiro who got traded there. Yeah. Like, it's so yeah. funny. It's irrational.
Yeah.
Irrational sports hatred has its place.
And I've got plenty of it.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely. I've got some. I mean, I still hate A-Rod. Not for leaving necessarily, just because he's a big dumb jerk.
Yeah.
There's no more to it than that.
Big dumb jerk. Oh my gosh. That is so crazy.
I mean, even though it's not his fault and he got traded away, I kind of hate Pineda a little bit. I mean, he's on the Yankees, and now he's kind of fat and hurt all the time. I'm like, dude, you could have been something.
Yeah.
You got to hate him for that. What a waste.
A very large waste. I think about him, and I actually get a smile on my face, because Montero could do nothing else. Like, he could just not play again tomorrow, and we still would have gotten more for him than we would have gotten from Pineda.
Absolutely. If anything, the only thing they've gotten out of that trade is Ivan Nova. And, like, he's just kind of a middle-of-the-road pitcher. He's not even super great.
And they stuck Hector Noesi with us.
Yeah, that was...
Oy.
I'm so glad I haven't had to see him in a Mariners uniform.
Not in a while, yeah. He's in Double A, I think.
Oh, good. Maybe we'll release him soon.
Way down there. Speaking of players not... So, the second base situation... This entire spring, have we talked about Robert Andino? Did we do that in the last podcast?
Not much. We've not said a lot about Andino.
Okay, that's fine.
That I recall.
So Robert Andino this spring, I was getting some feedback from people saying they were frustrated that he was taking at bats from our young guys, and I defended him. I defended him because it's good to have competition. It's good to have an infielder that he's good. He's a very good defensive fielder. And I thought, you know what, if this could push Brendan Ryan, that'd be great. I did not know he'd be taking at-bats from Dustin Ackley, and I didn't expect that. Ackley's been bad. I'm not arguing that. He's hitting 100. Him, Montero, and Smoke don't have an extra base hit yet. But Andino does not look competent in any way.
Yeah, the thing about Ackley is that he looked kind of pensive. At the beginning of the year, he was swinging away.
I don't know what that word means.
Oh, or I guess I used it wrong, because what I meant he looks more pensive now than he did at the beginning of the year. At the beginning of the year, he looked jittery, is what I meant.
Okay.
He would swing away at a lot of things. He wasn't very patient at the plate.
Word choice.
Thank you.
I just looked it up. That's great.
Well, I mean, it would have been a great word choice if I'd used it at the right time in that sentence, which I'm about to do.
Here we go. Go for it.
Here it comes. Now, instead of swinging so much and being all jittery at the plate, Ackley looks much more pensive.
Hmm.
He'll let those balls go by. He'll watch the pitches. And I mean, yeah, he did watch two perfectly good strikes fly by him the other night for seemingly no reason.
Hmm.
And it's hard to tell if he's just trying to be careful or if he's just getting jammed up. But he looks like he's trying to find his mojo at the plate. And I think once he falls into it, he'll start getting some hits and he'll start doing okay. I don't know why I keep singing Ackley's praises, but I'll still dump on Smoke for performing similarly. Well, better even. But Ackley, he's going to do it. He has to do it. He's Dustin Ackley. Please, Dustin, just do it. I'm begging you. This is a personal plea from me to you if you're hearing this right now. Please do it.
When I see Dustin Ackley when he's at bat, it honestly reminds me of 2010 with the Mariners. That was a team where Don Wakamatsu was the manager, and it felt like we were just praying to be walked because the hits were not going to come. And then hopefully we could walk the bases loaded and Milton Bradley could hit it far enough for a sacrifice fly. And it just, whenever I see him, I'm just like, he looks like he wants to walk so bad and he must swing with two strikes or he'll strike out, which he does anyway. And so Dustin got the night off last night. Robert Andino came in and, you know, maybe Robert Andino is a 220 hitter in his career. Last year in April, he hit 300. So maybe he's a quick starter type guy that Wedge is just running with for now until Nick Franklin or Brad Miller is ready. If Dustin Ackley gets sent down, what are we going to do?
If Dustin Ackley gets sent down, that'll mess with Nick Franklin's development because then Ackley has to start. And what's Franklin going to do?
Well, I think Franklin's playing shortstop. He's been switching in and out of shortstop and second base. But that would take at bats from Brad Miller, who we saw in spring training, whom I liked. I liked a lot. I liked his hustle. I liked what he's doing. He's no Mike Zunino, but you know, he's good down there in AAA. And I think about our infield situation and went from promise. And Brendan Ryan's our best infield hitter right now.
That is something to think about.
That is something to be sad about. Except for Kyle Seager and Brendan Ryan, every hit that our infield has been a single.
I can't even say anything to that. I'm depressed now. I'm very depressed.
I'm sad that I saw that yesterday on Twitter. I was like, dog, can't follow this person anymore. Too much good information about my team. Speaking of Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at Peyton Moreno and Jeff Budke. Moreno for Peyton and Budke for my last name. Yeah, I didn't mean to somber the mood there, but Dustin, these guys, it's okay. Hey, let's rank this. Let's rank the players on the Mariners you have the most faith in that they will either A, turn around or continue their good. This is a good exercise.
Let's make it separate categories.
Okay.
Players who I have the most faith in currently, or who we have the most faith in currently,
yeah,
and players who we have the most faith are going to turn it around before, let's say, midway through the year.
Well, it is. Yes, it's early.
Yeah.
But these are bad signs. So yeah, let's do that, like a confidence meter.
If I've got the bases loaded, who do I want stepping it up to bat?
With less than, I'm not even asking for a single, like, that I know will hit the ball in the outfield or hit a grounder past the pitcher that we can get a run and not hit into a double play.
This is going to sound so weird coming out of my mouth right now because I've never truly believed in this player before. I mean, I always knew he had the potential but kind of figured he would never reach it. Franklin Gutierrez is who I'm believing in right now. And good on you, Franklin.
Yeah, great job.
Michael Morse is a close second, I think.
I agree with you. I think Gutierrez is one or 1B. And I'm in on Kendrys Morales. I trust him as a hitter. I think he's very smart. He looks like he's just a very calm presence. So
yeah.
I would add him to the list. Okay, players that you think could turn it around. That you have the most. Pick like one or two that you think, I feel confident this guy will turn it around. That's the way I'm going to ask that question.
I feel very confident that Seager and Ackley both will turn it around.
Okay.
And I have a fair amount of confidence in Montero, too, because he knows he's got Zunino nipping at his heels, and that the Mariners will take quick action if he doesn't turn things around real quick-like. So
I agree with you on Kyle Seager. Kyle Seager has my faith. I don't know why. I think last year, I don't think that was an aberration. I think that was a sign of a good hitter that right now is struggling, that if this were in July, we might not even notice. It just happens to be at the same time as everybody else.
Yeah.
Kyle's my number one. I have faith in Jesus Montero. I don't have faith in Ackley, and I don't have faith in Justin Smoke.
Hmm.
I will not be surprised if the Mariners, I think, are really trying hard right now to avoid bringing up Mike Zunino. And I'm looking up his AAA stats right now. But if he continues his torrid pace, Florida Gator, first-round pick a year ago, in AAA right now, he is hitting... It's only been a few games. Okay, come on. Here we go. He's played 6 games. He is... This is great podcast stuff.
Yeah.
Why isn't this loading?
Looking stuff up in advance.
This is, you know, 26 at-bats. Really early. Smoke has, you know, 35 at-bats. So it's just above that. Mike Zunino has 4 home runs, 17 RBI. He's hitting 385. He's slugging over 1,000. Those are Mike Morse numbers through 6 games.
Yeah.
And, yes, it's AAA. Yes, it's early. But if this continues, even though the Mariners want to wait till June to avoid arbitration, they're not going to be able to. If Justin Smoke continues to slug his batting average, which means he's getting singles or nothing,
yeah,
and continues to, you know, not really get on base, he's going to be done. Kendrys is going to play first, and then Jesus and Zunino are going to split catching a DH. As much as I feel bad for Šopek, you can't ignore numbers like that for a winning team.
Why, you know, why couldn't we teach... This is, might be a little far-fetched.
I understand.
Why couldn't we teach Jesus to play first? He's not the absolute most apt fielding catcher I've ever seen anyway.
This is where you and I are limited on some things. Because I've thought that too. And in my mind, when I see him jaunt, I'm not going to call it a jog or a run. Like jaunt, like he's riding a horse when he's walking. I don't see an athlete. The interesting part of that, and it will be a downgraded catcher, Zunino is an athlete. Mm-hmm. And maybe he could play first base. Smoke has a month left, in my mind, before he's running out of luck. He's running out of opportunity. And
even still, we've probably given him too much time.
Yeah. I don't really know what else to say about Justin Smoke, except for I truly hope he turns around. You know, last night he had a hit, it was late in the game, like 7th inning, where it was just, he mishit the ball and it landed for a hit. And that can really get a little bit of confidence, like, hey, that was kind of lucky, and you can go from there. You know, Smoke's 26, this is the 26-year-old baseball players, that's like a sign of, like, if you're doing fantasy and stuff, you're like, oh, that guy's 26, maybe he's due for a breakout. You think about when Billy Butler for the Kansas City Royals, when he turned 26, his doubles turned to home runs and he figured something out.
Yeah.
And we've been waiting. We're not even asking Justin Smoke for much. He's hitting 6th or 7th, you know, 5, 6, 7th in our lineup. And we still just are so hesitant to do that, to give him everyday at-bats.
Watch. Tonight, Smoke is going to come out and he's going to hit back-to-back homers and get, like, 6 RBIs or something.
Making this podcast irrelevant. No, I mean, that would be great.
I would love that.
Smoke is the player that... You remember when his father passed away back in 2011?
Yeah.
One of his first years as a regular first baseman with the Mariners. And he had, I think, 12 home runs before June 20th. And the Mariners were a 500 team. That, I always point to that as, look what can happen to a baseball team when you have one player that dominant. And Michael Morse, yeah, he's been dominant. He's been hitting home runs, but... You know, except for one, they've been solo home runs.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. He had a 2-run home run in Chicago. Nothing wrong with that, but 5 home runs, 8 RBI, that's good. He's got a decent batting average. He's not consuming games the way Justin Smoke was 2 years ago, and it altered the state of the team. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know how he can get it back.
If there's any player who I want to succeed on this roster, it's Justin Smoke, honestly.
That's crazy.
And I might believe in him the least, honestly, because we were talking earlier about that, but I feel deep down, I want him to succeed more than Ackley. I want him to succeed more than Seager, kind of weird. More than Montero, because he's a great fielding first baseman. If he can find that power and become a guy who can hit...
He is great defensively.
Yeah, if he can find that power and become a guy who can hit 30... between 30 and 40 home runs in a season. Wow. Like, that's the kind of thing I'm looking for as a Mariners fan. Because when was the last time this team had a big-time slugger in the lineup.
Edgar?
Yeah.
Brett Boone?
And that was 2000 to 2003-ish.
I mean, you... I wouldn't, but you could throw Russell Branyon. He was at least a slugger.
Yeah.
But he wasn't doing anything else.
Yeah. So, if I could see a year of Smoke batting 270 and maybe smacking not even 30, 20, 22, 25 homers,
mm-hmm.
I would love that.
The way he looked in spring training is the Justin Smoke that we need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. We're going to kind of transition here a little bit. Oh, by the way, if you would like to sponsor the Seattle Mariners pod, you can contact us via our Twitter handles. We'd love to, play a clip on the show or just read on the air. That'd be fantastic. Right now, we're being sponsored by Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and MLB The Show.
And MLB The Show.
Not officially. They haven't.
Don't sue us.
Any money? No money.
More money, more problems. Peyton and I always say.
Exactly. We say that all the time.
So Peyton, what I'm going to do is I'm gonna throw out some names from the pitching staff, and I want you to tell me kind of like a gut feeling of where you think their season will go.
Ooh, I'm going to be like Caesar. I get the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Correct. Let's do it gladiator style.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Okay.
So let's start with an easy one, in my opinion. Great start from Hisashi Iwakuma. A dominant performance against the Athletics, with giving up one run. And then in Chicago, didn't get the win, gave up a 3 earned runs, but struck out batters, looked very good. What do you think about the rest of his season?
Hisashi Iwakuma is perhaps, other than Felix, how about this? For the rest of the time I'm speaking, assume that I have full faith and trust 100% in Felix.
Of course.
So,
and I would like you at home to think of him wearing Roman garb.
Of course.
Because he just changed.
I did, actually.
During the commercial break.
So, Hisashi Iwakuma, other than Felix Hernandez, is the pitcher on this roster that I have faith in. If I see Hisashi Iwakuma making a start, I'm like, you know what? There's a good chance that we can win this game if we grab a couple hits, because I don't think he's going to give up a lot of runs. That is my feeling about Hisashi Iwakuma, and I think he'll win... Oh, thumbs up. He lives. Kay. He lives.
He lives.
I think he'll get 15 wins this year. Easy. Easy, easy. Hopefully.
Joe Saunders gave us two really strange, polarizing pitching performances against the Athletics. He got beat up in 4 innings, and against the Astros, who ended up being pretty good in the series... He handled them on Monday, didn't allow an earned run.
Hey, man,
run.
They went to the World Series in 05.
You're right, they did. They had the killer bees then. I don't know if you... Berkman and Biggio and Beltran. I liked that team. That was fun to watch in the playoffs. Now they're division rivals. I don't get to ever say that again. But Joe Saunders, when I looked at his numbers last year, in April of last year, his ERA was under 2. In May, his ERA was over 7. In July, his ERA was 2. In August, his ERA was over 6. Inconsistency is this man's game. What do you think about Joe Saunders?
Here's what I think about Joe Saunders. His first start was terrible. Horrible. No good, very bad start.
How do you really feel?
I feel like it was the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad start. But then his second start, it was the home opener. Everyone was psyched. The place was packed. And he pitched well. And that could be because of the home field advantage and all the energy that was out there.
You brought this up before. His record at Safeco.
Yeah, 6-0, now 7-0.
Very good.
All time. But here's the thing. I'm not going to give him a thumbs up or a thumbs down yet, because I don't think he's proven himself.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I say we toss him a sword and open the gates and release the lions, because he needs to prove himself a little bit more. This crowd is not entertained yet.
Okay, so he needs to entertain.
He does.
Let's go on to Brandon Mauer, the kid. This is your answer for this is not going to reflect his career. I'm talking about the 2013 season. He hasn't pitched very many innings because he got shelled on Tuesday. Didn't make it out of the first. What do you see for Brandon Mauer?
This is going to sound crazy, but I say give him one more. Give him one more.
Only one.
Give him one more. Yeah.
He pitches Sunday against the Rangers.
Give him one more.
Against a guy named Tepish. I don't know who that is either. Yeah. But I didn't know who Brandon Maurer was 2 months ago. You say one more start. What qualifications are you for giving him a fourth start? Like what?
Okay.
That was a horrible word choice, but
I know what you mean. You know what I'm saying. I know what you mean. So, give him one more start. If in that start he gets shelled in the first two innings and they have 4, 5, 6 runs, you pull him out and then you send him down
send him
and
home.
You start figuring something out.
Mm-hmm.
If in that start he can go 6 or 7. Maybe only give up 3 runs.
He should be rested.
Yeah. Then I say, you know what? You're still on probation. We'll give you another chance.
Okay.
Let's
I'm gonna give you a hypothetical here. Brandon Maurer goes 4 or 5 innings, gives up 4 or 5 runs. Not great. Keeps the team in the game for a little bit. But we decide to send him down to AAA. Will this call-up be detrimental to him, or will it just be a blip on the radar?
I think it'll be a blip on the radar. The thing about professional athletes is that they've been dealing with this kind of adversity all their lives. And Maurer's going to know that he's on the Mariners' radar now. He's a viable option if he starts performing well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They could call him up again at any time if it turns out that he just tears it up in AAA. So I think that it will motivate him to do really well down there. And sure, he'll be upset. No one likes getting demoted.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the meantime, we picked up this guy Harang from the Rockies, right?
We did. Aaron Harang, who was traded from the Dodgers to the Rockies days ago. So this will be his third team in a week.
Oh, goodness. But, poor fella.
Yeah. But he's a starting pitcher. He was with the Reds for a long time. We haven't talked. It's irresponsible that we waited till this minute to talk about him. But
yeah.
He indeed is a quality pitcher. He's always struggled with health issues, but we're just looking for that gap, just that gap guy from now to Holtson,
yeah.
From now to Paxton, from now to Walker, and Harang might fill that. We were hoping it would be Maurer or
Bevin. Yeah.
But yeah, Harang, good player. We'll see where that goes. Definitely the decline of his career.
Yeah, and you know what? Now we've got room to send Maurer down, because
mm-hmm.
Who are we going to start in his place if we did before we got Harang?
Yeah.
Furbush?
It might have been a guy like Furbush or Oliver Perez. I was thinking Erasmo Ramirez would come up, but he's on the 15-day deal. He's on the 15-day deal. I like Erasmo a lot. I think they're going to be patient.
Yeah.
Holston's not... He might be ready, but they're not going to do it. I think that might be something more for our next podcast when it's a little bit clearer. But
yeah,
definitely interesting stuff there. Let's finish this out. Blake Bevin, guy that we got with Justin Smoke in the trade for Cliff Lee. I wish we just had 4 months more with Cliff Lee, but whatever. Blake Bevin, what do you think?
It's so strange because when he's pitching, I don't care about him. I don't care. It's weird because I want the Mariners to do well,
yeah.
But I don't really care that much if Blake Bevin does well. And so when I watch him pitch, I'm just kind of like, oh, because he rarely does well. I don't know. I have no gut feeling, or like I'm almost completely neutral toward him in spite of how bad he's been doing.
You are such a kind Caesar.
I know.
He's straight thumbs down for me. I see his best case scenario as Doug Fister, and I don't see that being possible this year.
I'm sick of waiting around for people to develop. And we've got enough people developing as it is.
Speaking of Doug Fister, I would take that trade back.
Oh, yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a mistake.
Oh, for sure. Because Casper Wells is gone now.
Yeah.
Blake Bevin.
Charlie Furbush was the other part of that.
Oh, yeah. I like Furbush a lot, but he's not Doug Fister.
No.
And I really like Furbush, actually. If he made his way into the rotation one day and actually pitched really well, I would be surprised, but pleasantly, I'd be like, wow, good for you, man, because I like him just as a player and as a pitcher. But, you know, I would take the trade back.
Yeah. We want to thank everyone for joining us on the pod today. We're going to wrap it up. If you want to read more from us, myself specifically, you can go to northwestsportsbeat.com. I write on the Mariners for game recaps. Today I got a little opinionated with the Supreme Court, so you can check that out if you want. You can follow us on Twitter at Peyton Moreno and at Jeff Budke. And, you know, thanks for joining us. You got anything you want to, any shout outs?
I follow back. Not really. I don't actually.
Cheers.
That's it. Have a good day.